You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand's approach to methamphetamine needs a thorough overhaul, with existing policies failing the community and causing a significant amount of harm. That is according to a new report from the NZ Drug Foundation. Minimising the harms from methamphetamine, jointly commissioned by the NZ Drug Foundation and the Helen Clark Foundation, it takes a comprehensive look at methamphetamine harm in Aotearoa and proposes a suite of a new health-based solutions backed by local and international evidence. Now, many people think methamphetamine addiction is an intractable problem, but it is our policy settings that are wrong, says NZ Drug Foundation Executive Director Sarah Helm. We need to stop repeating the same mistakes and hit the reset. This paper shows us that there is a huge amount we could be doing to reduce harm if we shift our focus and look at evidence. Now, I spoke to the NZ Drug Foundation Executive Director Sarah Helm on the matter. Here she is now.
So we jointly commissioned a paper with the Helen Clark Foundation because we were concerned that our approach to methamphetamine was failing and, as you say, doing more harm. So one of the things that I think is important to understand is in our drug policy, we're meant to do a range of things, but the things that we have put all of our eggs into is drug bust, so supply control. And when one supply disappears, another one springs up, so you never really get on top of the supply. And on the other side, we do a little bit in terms of addiction treatment. About half of the people who want to access addiction treatment are able to access it, or we arrest people for their use. That is not a comprehensive drug policy, and it is not a comprehensive suite of options. So we wanted to take a fresh look at the evidence, what else is available and helpful, and we also wanted to do a bit more understanding of who is using methamphetamine and why, rather than, you know, we've had quite a sensationalist and stigmatised conversation about methamphetamine over these last decades. And so we think it's time to update our thinking, update our drug policy, and look towards new evidence and approaches.
The lead author of the report, Philippa Yazbek, says that the solutions proposed are backed by evidence, but there needs to be a genuine policy shift away from just locking people up and more towards a health-based approach.
Yeah, that's right. So some of the findings weren't entirely surprising to us. So they were, for example, rolling out the very successful program that's happening up north, which is pretty comprehensive, actually. Maybe we could talk about that a little bit. They also recommended, for example, more kaupapa Māori and accessible treatment options, a greater focus on harm reduction intervention, so making things less bad for people like drug checking or dental services or employment, and removal of criminal penalties for methamphetamine use. And we wholeheartedly agree with those findings. The Northland work really shows us that health-based approach can work. And then there were a few other more surprising findings as well in the paper.
That program, which is run up north, Te Ara Oranga, have already shown that what a successful local approach to methamphetamine can look like with the whole community on board. And I guess that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, that's right. So instead of just doing drug busts and a little bit of treatment or arresting people, instead it's taken a more holistic approach. We would go a bit further, to be honest, than Te Ara Oranga has done, but we're very supportive of it. And basically they look at things like prevention and community action, at harm reduction, at involving the community. So they've actually employed these roles, these people who have been through treatment, been through methamphetamine addiction themselves, to help to work alongside people who are experiencing addiction and harm, to encourage them into treatment and all the other things that they need. Making treatment readily accessible, they promised or try to promise to get the person treatment within 48 hours. And then I think the thing that's really magic about that program up north is it's police and health led with iwi and community involvement. all of those parties have parked their individual jobs and are really collaborating towards a higher purpose of reducing methamphetamine harm. And that is quite magical and special. You've got the police officer there knocking on people's door, not to arrest them, but to encourage them to get treatment.
Now, the report also recommends piloting a new stimulant substitution therapy treatment for people who are unable to completely abstain from methamphetamine. This is after other treatment attempts. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so the paper proposes a controlled research trial as opposed to a more fulsome rollout, and that's because the evidence in the space is new and emerging. So substitution therapy isn't new. People will have heard of methadone. It's been proven to save lives, reduce harm, reduce criminal behaviour. It's very cost-effective. It's not controversial, substitution therapy. It's just a matter of getting the appropriate formulation and putting other supports around the person. And methamphetamine and stimulants, however, other stimulants, for example, MDMA or cocaine, it's pretty new. So the most promising results so far have been around a slower release drug, and specifically for a group that actually we touch on a bit more on the report, people with untreated ADHD, basically, who have ended up taking methamphetamine because actually it is a little bit similar to the medication they might otherwise receive. So many people, as you've said, go through treatment. Many do end up abstaining, but some aren't able to fully abstain or abstain on a lifelong basis. We think it is a little bit daft to send those people back into the perils of the black market and all of the things that you have to do to obtain illegal methamphetamine and then watch their life spiral back out of control. We think it would be preferable to try a different approach. And so we look to Canada. They've had some recent research. They're also in the middle of a nationwide trial. There was a trial New Zealand was involved with actually about a decade ago. There's one in Sydney at the moment. And so we look to those as being options. Now, Canada has actually gone a lot further than this. Canada is in the middle of an opioid epidemic. People are dying in vast numbers, very sadly, and they have an unsafe drug supply whereby we have people taking methamphetamine over there and being poisoned with fentanyl and dying. So they've actually been giving out methamphetamine and other drugs in little safe supply projects to try and replace that really toxic, poisonous drug supply. Now, we're not there, but it is really important that we keep an eye on that situation and keep an eye on emerging evidence that's happening around the world. It's a tragedy, and Canada is leaping over some of the existing drug policy to try new innovations to respond to what is a catastrophic situation over there, and it's that innovation that we can continue to learn from. But in this particular case, what we're talking about is indeed stimulant substitution therapy and just thinking about that very specific group been through treatment, haven't been able to fully abstain. What could we trial in a research project to improve their outcomes?
Now, I wanted to get into why some people use methamphetamine, because the report does go into this quite a bit. They've highlighted that it could be due to unmet health needs in some cases. Now, you did mention untreated ADHD, I believe.
Yeah.
Is there any other unmet health cases, such as mental health, or anything as such, which we must look into in order to understand why people use methamphetamine?
Yeah, I think one of the important things to note is that not everyone who uses methamphetamine ends up addicted. In fact, 3/4 of people who use methamphetamine, sometimes called speed, sometimes called pee, sometimes called some other things, gets addicted. They're mostly, 3/4 of them are using it very infrequently. About 1/4 of you are using it more regularly. So it's not a situation of one hit and you're hooked. And of course, methamphetamine's not good for your body, but for some people who are taking methamphetamine very infrequently, they're possibly not experiencing extreme harm. It's not good for your heart, etc. So it's not something to be sneezed at, but it's the story that we hear is so pervasive and a presumption that everyone is addicted. Then you have some groups in there, and this is us trying to be rational and calm and think about people who use and why. You have some groups in there that use it to keep awake for their occupation. You have people that are using it for sex work in particular or for chem sex practice because it enhances sexual experience and or makes it easier to do the job. Or vice versa, you might have people who are doing sex work in order to pay for what is actually an addiction. And then in terms of the people with ADHD, the unmet health needs, and there are probably some other people in this group, but people with ADHD in particular, it's very, very hard. We've been working with ADHD NZ on this, and they are working through a process of trying to improve access to diagnosis and treatment. So at the moment, there's very high bars to reach. You've got to go and see a psychiatrist. It's very hard to get the medication, even if you are diagnosed. And for those people, actually, we're told sometimes it's easier to access illicit methamphetamine, which is kind of tragic, right, to then turn those people back to the black market. And, of course, methamphetamine is an amphetamine. Ritalin and the other things like Dex that they might be prescribed are also amphetamine, so it makes sense. Some of those people report that for them, with ADHD, methamphetamine actually helps make them feel calm. So that's not the normal story we hear about methamphetamine, of course. So we, in the report, recommend trying to, you know, get that progress that ADHD NZ is trying to make around diagnosis and medication and treatment more broadly. We also hear that for those people who are in that situation, if they admit to having taken illicit methamphetamine, they're then barred, or sometimes barred from being able to access medication because they're viewed by the health system as being drug-seeking. So they're quite trapped in the black market, which is also, again, why we don't think it's quite right to criminalise people for use, because you've sort of, I mean, this group in particular have been condemned to this situation. It seems very unfair and better to try and get them a health intervention.
Now, you mentioned earlier about how the report included developing more Kaupapa Māori treatment and support options.
My thing, actually, is that Māori should be equal partners on all methamphetamine work, from everything from, you know, your Te Ara Oranga-type holistic program through to treatment. I mean, in treatment, we want them to be by and for Māori, kaupapa Māori services, where that's appropriate for the person. It might be they need some other type of accessible service, but where that's appropriate, right throughout all of the interventions that are possible. Because Māori are disproportionately impacted by methamphetamine harm itself, unfortunately, particularly Māori women, and are also being criminalised and prosecuted, so much more likely to be both criminalised and prosecuted for all drug crime, actually. And when I say drug crime, I mean use, and unfortunately, I don't think use should be a crime. So they've been criminalised for something that at least many New Zealanders don't actually think should be a criminal offence anymore anyway. And that just compounds harm. Imagine if you've got an addiction and you're being criminalised, the additional harm that's placed upon you and how much of a life-ruining experience that could be. We, you know, there was a mum interviewed a couple of months ago about who managed to get support for her son through Te Ara Oranga up north. But for years she had been trying to get help for her son and been trying to get him into treatment and failed, and eventually he got criminalised. And that's the kind of tragic story, you know, that we see play out. We also see, because there's a lack of access to treatment, people have these narrow windows, these moments where they're able to see that they need, that they might be able to make a change. And because there's big wait lists, that window closes while they're on a wait list. So we really need to change that. But yes, we absolutely need to make things really appropriate for the diversity of Māori in the community. There are other parts of the community that are also not really well catered for at the moment. We're just about to embark on a program we've had running with the AIDS Foundation, or what's now called the Burnett Foundation, and Body Positive, for gay and bisexual men, men who have sex with men, that engage in chem sex and use methamphetamine. We've been doing that in Auckland, and it's just about to be rolled out nationally. Because for them, going to treatment services where they can't show up and be their whole selves, where the rest of the participants don't understand their same-sex attraction or their lives, and they feel like they have to hide it, means that the treatment isn't going to really work very well for them. So we've had great success with that work. So again, we need to cater programs and services that will actually help the community who are using meth, I should say.
Co-author of the report, Professor Michael Baker, says New Zealand will only tackle drug harms if we shift to treating drug use as a health issue. He also said that Aotearoa has a history of taking innovative, courageous and world-leading approaches to reducing drug harm. Now, would you say that now more than ever is the time to really make that shift? And going forward, where would be a good place to start?
Yeah, I mean, Professor Michael Baker was involved in the establishment. He's at ex-Auckland University, actually. He was involved in the establishment of the needle exchanges back in the late 80s, which saved New Zealand from a mass number of HIV and AIDS infections that we would have otherwise seen and the rest of the world experienced. And it was that intervention that was the first real harm reduction intervention in New Zealand. The second one was decades later, our drug checking that we just had legalised, you know, a year or so ago, which is quite tragic that we had to wait decades and push for decades to get there. We don't want to wait any longer. Now, I'd say there's lots of things I'd love to see. Te Ara Oranga being extended nationwide would make a big difference in terms of meth harm. In terms of legislation, our Misuse of Drugs Act was written almost 50 years ago, and it is so outdated. It is so prohibitive in the way of us doing harm reduction, overdose prevention. You know, for example, we proposed setting up an overdose prevention centre in Auckland last week. But at the moment, as the law stands, we have to get special exemption, and we'll be lucky to get it. So we really want a law that enhances people's health and wellbeing, and then also the funding and services to go alongside that, because it's not just a matter of changing the law. You've got to do the other things. We have a narrow window. We don't know when fentanyl or other powerful opioids will enter our drug supply. We need to move faster.
That was Sarah Helm, the New Zealand Drug Foundation's Executive Director, speaking about the recent report to overhaul Aotearoa's approach to methamphetamine treatment.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.